Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong. I'm your girl, Jacqueline, back alongside my illustrious co-host in the last day of our alliance. Let's be real. We're recording this a day before our respective football teams go at it. And so, Mark, for today only, how are you, sir? My favorite person.
I'm great, Jacqueline. It's so lovely to see you at this hour and at not this 24 yeah. hours later. Now, by the time everybody's hearing and watching this, Jacqueline and I have most likely patched things up because her team pasted 60 on me and I just gave up at halftime. But until then, we're going to be bitter enemies for a little bit, but I'm also going to be bitter enemies with somebody else.
Ooh,
and that person is a friend of the show, and I have to give him his rightful acknowledgement. Josh McCouga, who has been supporting the movie we're talking about today with a very special guest, but that special guest is not named Josh McCouga, so I wanted to give him a shout out and a pre-apology because we did not have him on this episode because our guest today is just that good, and the movie we're talking about is just that juicy. This is going to be one for the ages.
Iconic, dare I say iconic. And there's only one person who could maybe unseat Josh McCouga as the special guest we're having today. We had to bring in the captain, let's be honest. So we're talking today with Ted Lasso star Kola Bikini. I'm so excited to talk to him about this because Bad Boys 2, which is currently rated 24% rotten on the tomato meter, the injustice, the injustice, 78% fresh. That is a huge audience. Anything over 40 points in the disparity is fighting as far as the internet is concerned. So, Kola, I just have to ask you, how do you feel about Bad Boys 2? And welcome to Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong.
Thank you for having me on. It's an injustice, as you said. It's a downright, it's a disgrace, actually. You know, Bad Boys 2, I mean, Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, I mean, come on, you know, 24%. When I saw 24%, I nearly spat my drink up. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, well, what's this? What year was this made? What was happening that year? Like, was the films, the best films of all time in the history of filmmaking made in that year for a film of such that quality to get 24%?
Yeah, it is sad to say, but I will say it came out in 2003. We will take ourselves back to kind of where we were at that time. But before we get there and before we get you to break down exactly why it is such an injustice and why we, I think everyone on this podcast today loves the movie so much. Mark Ellis, sir, if you please give us the who, what, when, why, where of the sequel to Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2.
The 2003 film directed by Michael Bay, who is coming off of these huge, huge hits, but really jump-started his action filmmaking career with the original Bad Boys in the 90s. And this film picks up 8 years after those initial events, and it sees our favorite buddy cops, Mike and Marcus. And when we meet them at the beginning of the movie, they're actually infiltrating the Klan in Miami, and they're investigating all of these different things. There's some drug shipments coming in. It ends up that Mike and Marcus, who Mike is Will Smith's character, Marcus is Martin Lawrence's character, they get into a bit of a situation where there's a gunshot wound to the butt. Mike accidentally getting, or shoots Marcus in the butt. And then Mike is also not accidentally dating secretly Marcus's younger sister. And so there's a lot going on right here. You have Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, and Gabrielle Union playing that younger sister. And then the events just get zanier from there. There's so much over-the-top action. Joey Pants as the hapless captain in this police force. It is in Miami primarily, but we also get to go to close to Cuba, close to Haiti. We're dealing with Russians. We're trying to stop drugs from coming into the world. And legendary Dolphins quarterback Dan Marino even stops by to make a cameo. So there's so much going on in this. Everything from money laundering, Jacqueline. There's a lot of crimes being committed. And Marcus and Mike actually end up taking ecstasy by accident at one point during this movie. So it really does have something for everyone. There's a reason why we call them Bad Boys. And it's because it's named after the famed lyric from the song featured in Cops that everybody knows every word to, including Marcus and Mike. We love the Bad Boys.
Yes. Oh, I think that is definitely going to have to hear that refrain at some point during this podcast, or the podcast wouldn't be complete. And also, shooting rats that are eating money with guns. Another amazing moment from this movie. That is a level of gangster. The rats are eating my money. I love it. I love it so much. All right. So we have gotten our lovely synopsis. Thank you, Mark. But that's not just it. We want to go ahead and transport ourselves back to 2003 and see what the critics were saying about Bad Boys 2 with one of my favorite segments, 2 Minutes with Tim. Brian, cue the music. 2 Minutes
with Tim. You know, virtually everyone would agree that Will Smith and Martin Lawrence have a ton of charisma and chemistry in general and in the Bad Boys films in particular. But the issue for a number of critics was not the leads, but the movies that surrounded them. And those complaints were particularly front and center for Bad Boys 2, which many found excessive even by the standards of the genre. Overlong at 2.5 hours, and overblown in its action scenes, and heedless property destruction. Bad Boys 2 is at 24% on the tomato meter, but it does have a 78% audience score, which speaks to the cult following the movies developed over the years. And just for reference, the first film in the franchise is at 42%, while Bad Boys for Life is certified fresh at 76%. So what did the critics have to say about Bad Boys 2? In a Rotten review, Dessen Thompson of the Washington Post wrote that it was just like Bad Boys, only louder, longer, and the stars got paid more. However, in a fresh review, Kim Morgan of the Oregonian wrote, "Though the picture has a generic quality, it also has an ingenious amount of anything goes that's amusing and frequently exciting. You'll laugh out loud, you'll hide your eyes, but you'll roll them too. Nevertheless, it's a fun, if blood and sun-soaked, ride." And on a final note, I just wanted to say that I could probably use a haircut, but I know that I'm unworthy of the artist with the clippers. Back to you, folks.
The artist with the clippers. That is not even a deep cut from Ted Lasso. That is just a cut from Ted Lasso. Mark, do you get it?
Oh, yeah, and it's accurate because I am wearing this hat because I am also not worthy of a clip from the barber. The captain.
Exactly. The captain. Love it. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Cole, I have to ask you, this movie has so many iconic scenes and we love it so much, but what is your favorite scene from Bad Boys?
I mean, thank you for that quick, you know, synopsis, because I forgot some of the wild stuff that happens in this movie. Like, even like before the rats are shooting my money, like Martin Lawrence has a phobia of rats, and they pose as pest control to get into the mansion of the I'm Russian, you know, that guy. And he sees like two rats, you know, making babies.
Michael, there's a papa rat humping the shit out of this mama rat. No, he's straight pile driving her.
Now, how is that information gonna help me do my job?
They fuck just like us.
You remember that? Do you remember that bit? And he's like, he's straight pile driving her. And he's he's got him on the, I don't know what it is they had in them times. That was, they didn't have no AirPods, so I don't know what he's got in his ear. Some kind of infrared Bluetooth device, a walkie-talkie kind of situation. But anyway, one of my favorite scenes was the video shop scene where they're having like a heart-to-heart. But somehow someone leaves the video. And you remember when you go into all them video shops, like they show you the equipment. So like they've got, you know, oh, this camera here can record, like, it's got how many megapixels or whatever. And then they'd have it on all the TVs in the shop. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting recorded. And it's just hilarious, like, what folds or what unfolds. And it was, I remember when I was younger watching it, I just wanted to be Mike. I mean, yeah. He was like, well, this, you know, he had the silk shirts and the Porsche and the, and, you know, and the guns, and, you know, I just wanted to be him. I remember that it was so iconic. I don't know what the critics were thinking. 24%, I don't know. They must have not liked rats, Russians, Haitians, Miami. You know, it must have been someone just being like, I hate this, I hate that, I hate this, I hate that.
I will say this, there's a lot of things that go into it, but the biggest one I think of is just action and comedy. For as much as like audiences live for it, and literally why they show up in theaters, it's not always what I feel always gets the critical juices flowing, because mm-hmm. although they understand the assignment on making somebody laugh, I just feel with critics, they always want it to be more. Like they always want it to have some more complexity, when honestly, simple is not wrong. Simple can be great. You know what I mean? Just turn off your brain and have a good time.
Just have a grilled cheese sandwich. You guys, we call it cheese toasties over here. Sometimes I don't want to cook a full course, you know, with all the trimmings. Sometimes I just want a quick, pop it in the microwave or whatever, and boom, I'm gone. And I enjoyed that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad Boys 2 is fast food. It's fast yeah. food, but it doesn't give you a tummy ache later. You know, it's all the good things of fast food, but you don't feel bad about cramming all those fries into your gullet afterwards. And like when audiences watch something like Bad Boys 2, at least for me anyway, you always try to see yourself in one of the characters. And I always set my bar at Marcus, because one of my favorite shows, and I will go to my deathbed saying this, is that the most underrated show and possibly the best sitcom of the 1990s was Martin Lawrence's sitcom, Martin.
It
was great.
It was so good.
I know that as a white kid watching this movie, I'm like, I'm never going to get to be Will Smith. I'm never going to get to that level. I'm never going to be flying the Independence Day spaceship and shooting aliens and saving the world. But I can be Martin Lawrence. You know, I could be Martin Lawrence, and that was my goal in life, and it still is my goal. And when I see Martin Lawrence at the comedy clubs, I remind him that he is who my bar is. And right when this movie starts out, it's one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie, because it is just Michael Bay getting in so into his Michael Bay action juices with the slow motion billowing. In this case, it's a literal Klan robe that we find out
Yeah.
It's so good.
I remember that. That was
the guns, and he's got the two guns at the same time. It's poetry.
I mean, as a kid, that was wow. How old was I in 2003? Like, basically, you know, nine?
Oh, gosh.
Nine? Oh. Nine?
See, I was 23, but I still thought like a kid.
I mean, literally, like, I was studying in school, in college, and you were nine. Oh, hurts my heart.
I was nine, jumping on my mom's sofa. You know, getting in trouble, you know. I was pretty hyper kids, you know, being like trying to be like Mike, you know, like trying to like do all the slow motion, you know. When you're nine, you don't know what slow motion is. You just think, oh, that was cool, man. What was that? Whoa, how did he slow down time? Is he that cool that the time just slows down whenever he just walks in a room? You know what I'm saying?
I'm convinced that's why I never became a quality martial artist, is because I grew up watching like all the Van Damme movies where they do these cool like jump kicks in slow motion. So I just thought every time you fight somebody, it's going to take place in slow motion, like it's underwater. Yeah. And when you get in a real fight, it's a lot faster.
No.
Yeah.
It's 20 seconds and that's it. And you're both just looking to like.
That is what MMA gave us. MMA told us very quickly what a beatdown really looks like. That's why the rounds are only 1 minute, and that is the longest 1 minute ever. Not that I'm the hugest MMA fan, but that's what I was like, oh, this is what a real fight looks like. Yeah, boxing to a certain degree. They're like, away from each other. But then I saw MMA, I was like, oh no, this is a fight. Like
one kid used to get beat up in my school all the time, man. Like, not because he got bullied or anything. Like, he was, I think he was like one of them, you know, the kids that are quite loud and boisterous. But he used to always, whenever he was prepared to fight, he used to always do the Matrix. So he used to go, let's go. And then, but he was trying to be Neo. He thought he was Neo. He generally thought he was Neo. So.
And you make all those punching sound effects. And it's like, no, you don't have to make
that. He had the whole sound effects. I mean, he had like some, his dad's jacket, his dad's leather jacket, you know, trying to do the Morpheus.
So he just wanted to be in a movie. He didn't want to fight. He just wanted to have a fight scene.
I think he's an actor now. I think he's an actor now. I'm not going to say his name, but I think I'm pretty sure he's an actor now. I mean, he chose the right field.
Yeah. You know?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
I have to say in this one, both of y'all chose great scenes. But for me, and it is an iconic scene, and it's like the scene that I always think of when I think of this movie. And that is the scene where Martin Lawrence's daughter is going out on her first date, because this is a jump from Bad Boys 1. The kids are older, and Martin opens the door and he just gives this kid the business. And the first thing he says, like, how old are you? Because you look like 35 years old.
I'm 17, sir. You look 30.
And he's just like, and then Will Smith comes out and says the exact same thing.
He's drinking like he just got some cognac from the bar, like, I don't know. And then it's just like, I just got out of jail. Yeah, chitty chitty bang bang.
Poor child.
I'm Mr. Bennett. I'm Reggie.
What you doing here?
Came to take out Megan.
What?
I came to take out Megan.
How old are you?
I'm 15, Mr. Bennett.
Motherfucker, you look 30. Show me some ID.
I don't have none on me.
You don't have no idea. Get your ass up against that wall. What the fuck is your problem? You think you know it all? You little young thundercats. You got joints on you?
No.
You smoke that shit?
No, sir.
You trying to get my daughter high? You smoke that shit?
Nigga, who that is, your daughter?
It's Reggie.
Who the fuck is Reggie?
Came to take Megan out.
What you want, nigga?
I'm here to take his daughter out.
What's your name?
Reggie.
Well, no, I heard a motherfucker say your name, Reggie. You want you taking Megan out?
Yes, sir.
How old is you?
15.
Shit, nigga, you at least 30.
And the child doesn't even react, because obviously I'm sure he was warm, but the child is literally like, no, sir.
I think he's in the latest one. I think he's in the latest one.
I think so too. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think
I'm
he's
sure
too.
They brought him back. Like, I think they're like married.
Yeah.
And that is hilarious, man. You can't beat that.
No, I do love how they've kept everyone, and obviously they've brought back Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, but they brought back the whole, you know, for the most part, the family. Like, I think the kids may have been cast distance, but yeah, he brought back his wife. It's really great. You've already kind of talked about it, but I guess the first time you saw this was at home. You said you're jumping on the couch. Is that like, were you definitely not in the theater for this one?
I mean, no, I mean, like, when I was growing up, yeah, going to the cinema was like the biggest, highest luxury, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, Every film that I watched, I'd have to catch it. We had, back then we didn't have no cable TV or nothing like that. So it's like, we had channel 1 to 5. On a Friday at 9 p.m., they used to show a movie and they used to have adverts from the movie the whole week. So you're like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna watch it. And then one time there was like Bad Boys 2 and it was like a massive thing in our school, like where it's like, oh, Friday, like, I'm gonna go home. Like, I'm gonna be, go play football and then I'm gonna, get home at like 7. I'm gonna prepare, like, you know.
I love it.
I'm gonna make sure my sister's not on the couch and I'll make sure, like, you know, my mom, like, yeah, mom, man, don't you want to have like a nice bath? Like, you know, so she ain't on the couch watching British soaps or whatever. So it was a big thing for me and my school, but we had something called MSN. That's how we used to communicate. Like, we had like, well, like a one computer, you know, because I'm in that weird age group where I'm not Generation X. But I'm not the generation before my generation. I'm like in the middle where, for like the first decade of my life, there was no internet, it was dial up.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, when I became like 16, that's when it went boom. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, like 2008 or 2009.
That's why you're such a precious commodity, is because you're the youngest person that we can talk to that still remembers not having the internet at your fingertips at some point in your life.
I had the BlackBerry, you know, the BBM pin.
Yep.
Yeah.
But that's what kind of like, you know, eased us into the, now the Apple iPhone era.
Yeah. And I will say too here, like, it is different too, because in America, I feel like that generation is just a little bit older, mostly because, like, I think AOL became more prevalent here first. And so like kids got internet when I was kind of a little bit older than you, at like 13 is when a lot of kids were getting AOL. We were getting those discs or whatever, but it's the same. It's the exact same beats. It's just like on a slightly different timeline, you know?
Yeah. UK is like the US is a little cousin.
I didn't want to say that.
Little brother, little cousin, where it's like, you know, we always get, you get the cool phone and the cool gadgets. And then when you get the newer stuff, you give us the stuff that you had before. You know?
I would not put it that way.
Every James Bond movie is the other way around, though, because Q shows Bond the coolest stuff. And I'm like, why can't we have that? Why can't I buy that at 7-Eleven here in America?
Because James takes it all, you know. James just takes it all, and he doesn't give anybody anything. Yeah. So it's like, you know, if James gave us one of his, you know, some of his technology, then maybe we'll be able to, you know, keep up with America. But until then, we're stuck a few years behind you guys.
You're doing all right, though.
But that's the thing I noticed about Bad Boys 2, though, is that it, because again, it took place in that weird time frame where like we're sort of embracing the internet, but not really. But now if you see a movie that takes place back around then, they make a point to either establish that we can use cell phone technology or we don't have cell phone technology yet. But it doesn't feel like this movie didn't feel dated to me when I rewatched it a couple nights ago, because I rewatched it before I saw Bad Boys for Life, because I wanted to get back with these characters before I went to the theater. And then I rewatched it again for the show a couple of days ago. And it's just, I felt like I was back in that time frame from when I had first moved to LA and was starting to do stand up. So me and a bunch of my open mic friends at the time went to go see this in the theater. And it was one of the first movies I saw when I was in LA in a theater. And it was just such a fun experience, because again, that's why you watch this movie. Again, you're not expecting to get emotionally moved, although it does happen at some points in this movie.
It does.
Yeah.
It's like, it really does. Like, you know, when he's talking about the whole thing that he wants to retire, and then when his sister gets, there's this big epic cameras revolving
and the Michael Bay shot.
He's on the phone and he's like, they got my sister, man. Then they both just look around, like, epic music, and he's got like the revolving Michael Bay cameras, and he's just like, damn, why they do him like that? Why you get your sister, man? Yeah. Go get your sister. You know what I'm saying? And it's like that kind of shot is being used even today. So it's like the film is quite ahead of its time.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, you say 2003, you could have said to me 2008. I would have been like, oh yeah, cool. Because I watched it and I there's no way, like, I didn't see no boot cuts, no big ass t-shirts. I didn't see no 90s situations going on. Like, you know, I didn't see no jerseys. I just felt
no, it set fashion trends going forward.
Yeah.
Or Kangol hats. Not like that in there. Like,
well, it's Sydney. Sid. That's her name. Gabrielle Union's character is Sydney. But the other thing in that shot is, and this is the shot that's parodied in Hot Fuzz with Edgar Wright. It's like the shot that if you ever want to do an action comedy parody or even like reference it, it's when Martin Lawrence takes the phone. He's like, shit just got real. Like that moment. That moment, and I had to say,
I forgot the line. That was where like, the penny dropped, and this is real now.
Yeah,
he was messing around before, you know, doing barbecues and and telling you, and all this memories. Like, you know, you guys over there, you know how to do a barbecue. I can give you guys that. Every single movie I've seen, or anything, even reality TV, I look at the barbecue, and I'm like, it's a nice barbecue, isn't it?
Well, if you make it to LA, me and Mark are neighbors, and both of us have access to great barbecue equipment. I will make sure you get some brisket with potato salad. Like, come, we will get you fed. Mark, what about you? What's another favorite scene of yours? I have mine, and I'm definitely going to talk about it because it still cracks me up, and it cracked me up when I watched it again the other night. But what about you?
Well, because I look at these movies like sporting events where I'm looking for great chemistry, I'm looking for a lot of scoring, but at the end of the day, somebody has the ball in their hands when the buzzer is about to sound and they have to hit the game-winning shot. And so for this movie, it's when Mike has been taken hostage and it's Marcus, it's Martin Lawrence, who again, the classic underdog, and Martin plays that character as well as anyone ever has, hits the clutch shot. He nails Tappy in the head. He falls back and he saves his partner's life. And then and then we get to have that celebratory barbecue right afterwards. But it's because Martin Lawrence came through. And it was kind of an interesting play at that time because, again, Martin Lawrence was a known commodity as a very funny comic who's been in some hit movies. But Will Smith was Mr. 4th of July. He was the biggest box office star in the world. So you would just think that he's going to be the one who saves the day at the end. But no, he was the one hooking up with Martin's little sister in the movie. And it's Martin who has to save him. And so it's just such a cool sort of surprise, ironic twist in that movie as to whose partner is saving whose life at the end of the day.
I do love that.
I mean, of course, that's what makes great movies, though, where they just like, you know, they don't go for the cliched, overused narrative. They break that narrative and they're like, oh, you're like, nah, I ain't gonna watch the rest of this movie. I know what's gonna happen. I was in the cinema the other day. I'm not gonna say, I can't remember what film I was watching. And I was with one of my friends and I was like, this is gonna happen. And then this is gonna happen. And then that guy is gonna go again. And then he done it.
Yeah.
And then he was watching the film and he was just looking at me because I had told him the whole film and he was convinced that I had watched the film already. And I was like, no, the film came out today. Like, how can I watch the work? No, he's like, yeah, but you're an actor, man. You get inside knowledge. Like, what are you talking about, man? You know what I'm saying? So, but I just know, you know, plot lines that have just been rinsed.
Recycled,
And we're always looking for something like, ooh, what's going to be different? Do you know what I'm saying? And films like Bad Boys 2 were different, where you're like, oh my God, the underdog, the guy that can't get it up, you know, he's got to take Viagra pills and whatnot. And he's the one that saved the day.
Yeah.
That's nice. You know, he needed a win. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
and he got a win in the first one too with the car, where he was just like, I don't want to go back to Bad Boys 1 too much, but literally the scene when Martin Lawrence is finally driving right, and he's just like, you have a right to remain silent. He's like, what are you doing? Just getting it out the way. That is some stuff right there. Like, that is like trailer moment.
For all of us who've always wanted to get behind the wheel of a high-powered sports car, but we don't have the police authority to do it. So he is all of Will Smith is who we all would want to be if we were creating ourselves from scratch. But Martin Lawrence is the attainable person that we think we could be that guy at some point in our existence.
That's it. Look, we all want to be Will Smith, innit?
Yes.
But we all are Martin Lawrence.
True that.
So wait a minute. No, I ain't going there. What are you talking about?
I'm not even Martin Lawrence. I'm the captain. I'm just like, what are y'all doing? Why is everyone making me lose my mind and my hair and my sanity? I am the captain. I'm like legitimate. I know you're the captain on Ted Lasso, but in this movie, I'm Joey Pants. I'm literally just like, what idiocracy am I surrounded by?
Yeah, but you know, like playing the captain, I kind of sympathize with the captain now, you know, I'm like, there's a lot of responsibility and you got these cowboys
literally
rolling around your city and just like, you caught one guy, but now I've got to put out 20 fires, got to take that car from outside, off that road. I got, you know, 20 millions worth of city damage, you know, just to catch one little tiny drug dealer, you know? Yeah. You know, when in the end, when they get the big guy, cool. But if they didn't get the big guy, the captain's got every right to pull his hair out, you know?
Yeah.
They're still probably mad.
It is something you got to point out, because the city of Miami, the poor city of Miami in this movie, there are films where cities have just been completely decimated. I think of Transformers. I think it's Transformers 3, where downtown Chicago just gets annihilated. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a movie that has more destruction than Miami in Bad Boys 2.
I mean, if you're comparing destruction levels from alien robots to two human detectives, I mean, they're doing some serious overtime here. You know, gigantic alien robots that turn into vehicles, yeah, that shoot grenades out of their eyes, yeah. And
this is Marcus, two dudes. Yeah.
Just Marcus, two dudes. Mike, yeah. With well-adjusted, with not as well-adjusted as they should be police officers. Mark, I forgot to ask you, where did you see it? Because I'm curious. Where did you first see Bad Boys 2, if you can remember? It was here, I guess.
It was in L.A. It was at, I think it was at the Grove, which to this day, I still say, had the best popcorn in all of Los Angeles, and maybe the world. The best popcorn I've ever tasted was at the Grove. It's
so sweet.
We don't do that here. Salty.
Well, yeah. There's some places that do the sweet kettle corn, but if I'm watching an action movie, I want it to be salty, a little hint of buttery. And like, but that's the problem, is that you watch a movie like Bad Boys, and particularly when you see somebody like Mike on the big screen, Will Smith's character, and he's got his shirt off, because again, he's Will Smith, he should be taking his shirt off. You're watching somebody in peak physical condition with the abs exactly the way you've always dreamed you would have, but you're in the theater eating popcorn with extra butter on it, basically guaranteeing that you're never going to look like.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just look down at your popcorn and you're like,
this is never going to happen.
And all the kernels have fallen out of the bucket, and they're now resting on the top of your little beer belly, and you can pick them up and eat them. It's not good.
You brought up a good... Go ahead. No, I was going to say you brought up a good point with the popcorn, though. Yeah. UK has this on lock. It is something I want to franchise out to America. They have make your own popcorn. It's like salty sweet, like where you can like do the difference between the two together at the movie theater. And we don't do that.
We don't put butter on our popcorn. That's insane. I don't know which criminal put butter on popcorn. Because I'm just like, okay, popcorn's not good for you.
Right.
How can I make this even worse? how can I make myself have a heart attack?
Yeah.
That's what we call Americanizing.
Yeah. I mean, we chicken fry chicken things. We chicken fry things that don't need to be chicken fried, like steak. We fry Oreos and Twinkies over here. Butter is low.
We do that, though. But we don't do that in the cities where people are sane and, you know, live normal lives. If the further you go out, you go into the little middle part of England, you know, that nobody talks about, you know, the Midlands. You know, they're famous for their deep fried Mars bars.
What?
Unfortunately. And it's the places that they sell them as well. It's like, they sell them in the fish and chip shops. So, you know, where they're putting them in the same batter that they're putting in the fish.
Hey.
I'm like, hold on a second now.
No,
this is cross contamination over here. But I don't know what I mean, everyone's gonna talk about cross contamination now that COVID's been around, but you know, it's been around for a while. Like, It's always been there, you know. And it's just arrived in 2020, like, you know what I mean?
Am I wrong for thinking that there should be a Bad Boys movie that takes place in England where it's just Mike and Marcus trying to figure out the British customs as opposed to what they're used to? There's got to be some sort of international thing.
That movie would be like 5 hours long.
And I would pay to see every second of it. The real crossover that you want to have, because talking about the barbecue that we get to see in here, I know that the first Fast and Furious movie had come out prior to the Bad Boys sequel, but I feel Fast and Furious took some cues from the Bad Boys franchise. So why can't we get Mike and Marcus into Fast and Furious?
No, they've gone left, yeah. And then they've just gone, they are now, I don't, Vin Diesel is a part of the Marvel universe. He's MCU.
Yeah.
He is an Avenger.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the latest one. I don't know if anybody's seen it, but they went to space.
They literally took a rocket.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking back to the first one when they were selling pirate DVDs. And I was like, wow, these guys have really, you know, come up in the world, you know. I mean, they've got rockets now.
Yeah.
You know? How did you go from selling pirate DVDs to rockets? I'm not like an academic or anything now, but I'm not a mathematician. But if I did the math, you know, I'm thinking to myself, hold on a second now.
I'm progress. That.
So when did they hit a lick? When did they get up like so much where they're like able to? I mean, one of them, The Rock, is holding a truck and holding a chain. And the chain is attached to a helicopter. And he's like, oh! And I'm thinking to myself, you're holding a helicopter and a truck. And then he's in the hospital and he's like in casts and that. And he sees something. He's like, those are my friends.
He flexes his way out of a cast.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is some super soldier stuff right there. Like,
yeah. Then from that, you know, from then on, I said to myself, this movie has gone left. Gone left, man. I don't understand. This is a joke. This has got to be a comedy.
It is. It's an interesting point you get to with those movies, too. For me, it was in one of the ones where The Rock is driving on a glacier and there's a torpedo and he opens the car door and just gently nudges the torpedo out of the way, where I'm like, it's some, because I love action movies, but at some point the action gets so ridiculous that I it takes away some of the enjoyment for me.
There's another one in there. You know, when they're driving on the runway, how long are they on that runway?
For like 30 minutes.
Runways aren't that long.
Yeah,
I saw a meme, yeah, and it was just the map of the world, yeah, and then like a red line going across it, and it's like, what's the viewers runway? from Africa to Russia.
Yeah.
They drove that was a good half an hour. You know where the Asian actor and the French woman, they're on the car and Vin Diesel's there, and there's cars in the little the plane that carries
cargo plane.
Yes. And it's going and it's massive and they're on that runway for a third of the movie.
And it's fun and it's thrilling.
Hey, but listen, it's carburetors, not capes. I will go ahead and do this little name drop because they are very aware of how silly it is, because I did the press conference for the very last one, Fast 9, like where they had like Michelle and Vin and John Cena. And I told them, I was like, look, sorry to the physicists out there that have problems with this, but this is superheroes with carburetors, not capes. Like y'all should have been dead. And they were completely in agreement. So they know.
Let's talk about Vin Diesel's tank top for 1 second.
Before we go back to Bad Boys.
Just before we go back to Bad Boys, I need to make one point about this. My brother made it the other day. He goes, yo, this guy's been rolling around, fighting people, going in space and that. I ain't seen him change once and his tank top's still wet. Where can I get this tank top? Because I need it in my life. I wear a white t-shirt for 5 minutes. And I look down and I'm like, where did I eat ketchup? I don't even like ketchup. Why is this red?
Oh, yeah.
No, is that blood? Did someone just bleed on me? You know what I'm saying?
I'm getting food stains on that tank top within the first 5 minutes. It's some sort of moisture wicking fabric that he has had for the last 9 movies where he just does not drip through that. But again, I got to go back to the way Will Smith pulls off the tank top. I'll
True
take that.
That
over Vin Diesel because that's my perfect level of bonanza action extravaganza without going over the top is what Michael Bay brings to the good Michael Bay movies like the first Bad Boys, The Rock, and
Armageddon.
Armageddon. And then, but that's also sort of the reason why I think Bad Boys 2 is so low in the tomato meter is because if you look at 2003, Michael Bay is coming off of movies like Armageddon and Pearl Harbor, which were not critical darlings. And I think that by that time, people just kind of put Michael Bay into a box, which he put himself into by making these kind of movies. But I think sometimes the fun factor is underrated.
Look at these movies now. Look at Armageddon and Pearl Harbor. Look how much they're like cult classics now.
True that.
You know, because I watch Armageddon and Pearl Harbor anytime I want to have a good old cry.
Yeah.
You will cry. Josh Hartnett, spoiler alert, 20 years later, damn near, but Josh Hartnett dies and I cried with every inch of my teenage girl soul because I loved him since the faculty. Real quick, though, I did want to talk about this one scene because I referenced it when Mark was doing the synopsis. And we do have to get you out of here, sir, because you are a busy man. I'm sure y'all are like minutes away from filming season 3, or I don't even know where y'all are in it right now. But the shooting of the rats by Hector, the drug lord. This is the thing, like some of the jokes, like I still giggled when, you know, Martin Lawrence opened the door and there's still funny moments when they bust out of the KKK costumes. Yeah, I giggled. I legitimately was rolling laughing to where someone who's at the house with me comes in the room. He's like, what is wrong with you? I thought you were crying. And I'm like, I kind of am because I'm crying laughing because this drug lord has all this money, like in his like basement or wherever he's at, I think. And the rats are eating it. And so he's literally shooting the rats to try and get them to stop eating the money.
Oh my God. Fucking ratones eating my fucking money. Carlos, this is a stupid fucking problem to have, but it is a problem nonetheless. Rat fuckers.
Apparently, that's a reference to what Pablo Escobar used to do.
Yeah. Because like
apparently that he generally used to have a rat problem. Used to eat his money. That generally used to happen. It's in his book. Apparently, that literally happened.
Oh, I love it.
You know you're doing well when rats are eating your bank. You know,
seriously.
You know you have too much money. When rodents are literally chewing away your retirement, that's too much cash around the house.
Absolutely.
That's not pay, no.
We did talk a little bit about it, but it's so interesting to see the trajectory of these movies because the first one made about $140 million. It was like 42, I think, on the tomato meter. The second one made almost $250 million, really low on the tomato meter. But Bad Boys for Life was the number one movie at the box office for the year that the pandemic kicked off. Mm-hmm. Because it was during that early point before theater shut down. So it ended up being the number one movie for the year. And it's grossed more than all of the other ones combined. And it's the only Bad Boys to be certified fresh on the tomato meter. So it is one of the few instances, arguably in every way that you could say, that the last one was the best one. Now, granted, some people may quibble with that, but like literally, critically, box office, the audience score is also very, very high. I don't know.
Well, that's a given because everybody loved the two Bad Boys before and everybody's crying out for them. You know, the early 2000s, the 90s kind of style of movie where you're like, when movies used to be good before, like, you know, all the CGI and, you know, all of the special effects and whatever, just straight up like storytelling and your favorite characters, you know. So that was always going to do well. You know what I mean? If they brought a sequel to, Friday with Chris Tucker. You know, if they brought Ice Cube and that would generate massive, just all these cult movies that if they were to do like another sequel, it would just do well with time. And the certified fresh part, I think it was I think because they knew they messed up. Yeah. And you know, now they can't take it back. So now they're like, it's honorary. Okay, we're honorary. Make it fresh. You know, otherwise people would just look at the website and be like, oh, the Rotten Tomatoes, and then be like, you know, I don't really believe them.
It is pretty crazy because in sports, in soccer or in American football, basketball, they give out the award for the most improved player each year.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what Bad Boys for Life is, because it improved upon the tomato meter score so much. I don't think you can name another franchise where the first two movies are rotten and then the third one gets it's to fresh. Be certified fresh. So that is an achievement in amongst itself. And then speaking of soccer, can I call it soccer in your presence, or do you not acknowledge the term soccer?
Oh, I'm not a prude. I'm not a prude. You call it whatever you like.
Okay. Appreciate you for that.
Because Ted Lasso is an American football coach who goes over to your side of the pond to coach what he calls soccer, what everybody else calls football.
Hates I
mean, T. Some guys would not allow that.
I would never drop that. If I was in your town, I would never drop the soccer term. I would just say football, and I'd be a traitor in my own country, but I could live with myself. That's fine.
I'd give you a look. I'd give you a look like read the room.
Read the room. I love it. Well, also really quick before you get out of here, season 2 of Ted Lasso, I mean, I really think went so many cool and different and interesting places. And before we talk about Rotten Tomatoes, let's be real. Y'all are doing quite well, both in audience and critical score. Yep. I mean, everyone, y'all just swept the Emmys. I was there that night and I spoke to Jason, I spoke to Hannah, spoke to Brett, who all looked just as happy and stoked about winning those Emmys as they did when you guys were in the championship game. It was just so cool to watch that. But what can you tell us? Where are you guys at in season 3? Do you have a shooting date? Do you know when you guys are going to get there?
Right now, the word on the street is we're looking at, you know, end of Jan.
Okay.
I think they're trying to park it, you know, for our opening or the same time as season 2.
Mm.
But, you know, you can't be sure with these things, you know, they could just change their mind. But at the moment, that's what I'm hearing.
So have you heard any? Oh, go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, no, I was just curious about the physicality of a role where you have to play someone who is, obviously you have to be a good actor, but then you also have to have game out on the pitch. So is that part of the audition process, is actually like being on a field, or is it like, hey, this is a video of me and proving that I can, that I know my way around a soccer field? What's that?
Oh, you have to be good. Yeah, one of the stipulations of the role was you have to be good at football.
Oh, wow.
In order for it to be, you know, believable, even down to the essays, the extras on the show, they are all semi-pro.
Wow.
That's awesome. Semi-pro. Because there's so many movies we've seen where it's like the actor could be fantastic, but that's not how you swing a baseball bat.
No.
That's not how you throw a football.
No.
Yeah. Because, you know what I mean? In order for the show to be believable in all the different communities, you know, even the sports community, you know, where people will be looking, you know, okay, playing a footballer, but can they play football? And just by the first touch, some people who actually play football in pro, like I used to do, they'd be like, he doesn't play football. You know what I mean? Because this is a way, it's a way of touching the ball, and there's a way of passing, and there's a way of shooting that people that haven't played football would never know how to do this. It would just look weird, them kicking the ball. Have you not noticed when some people are kicking the ball, they're like,
I'm that guy. I'm that guy who watches a movie. I played intramural soccer in college, so I had fun with it, but... Yeah. I'm that guy. It doesn't matter what the sport is. I can tell if you've played or not. I can tell if you actually have game. And it's just such a suspension of, like, again, I can handle the Rock pushing a torpedo out of the way on a glacier. I can't handle somebody who clearly has never thrown a football before playing quarterback. I cannot do it.
Yeah.
I will leave the theater.
Yeah. Hey, that's fair. That's fair. Well, speaking of that, who has the best ball skills on the team? Like,
am I removing myself?
I mean, you absolutely can, and I would say that you can put yourself number one. I would barely be able to tell. Like, if you said you were number one, I'd be like, yeah, that's right.
Is it a position? There's different positions, you see, so it's hard to compare, you know. There is one who used to play professionally in Switzerland, who is Mo Hashim, who plays Bumper Catch.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
He's the best on the team.
I will keep an eye out for that. I will say my entire knowledge of European Premier League and anything like that comes from mostly books and television. I've read Nick Hornby's book, Fever Pitch. So I feel like I understand a little bit in that respect. And then like TV, like, so when there's like a show, and I'll be very excited for this next season of Ted Lasso. I just read that you guys made a deal with the Premier League to where you guys will actually be able to use their footage in season 3, which I think is just going to add to make the show even better. So yeah, I can't wait.
It's hard to please you fans now. It's getting hard. You guys have put expectations now. Before, there was no expectation, so it's like we can just do what we want. But now they're like, you better be good. You know what I'm saying?
Y'all are good. It's cool. Yeah,
it's cool. Like, you know, winning all these awards and whatnot, but then that comes with you know, heavy the head that wears the crown.
Yeah, keep raising the bar, and
yeah, it's sometimes the bar is out of reach.
You sound like a coach that just won a championship. Like, you literally do, and I feel you very like Brad Pitt in Moneyball right now. Like, man, this is just not.
I love that film,
yeah,
man.
It's a good one. Anyway, we do have to get you out of here, Cola. I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. It was so much fun. Please let folks know where they can find you. Anything that you want to shout out for folks to keep a lookout before we get you out of here?
Just Instagram and Twitter, Cola Bikini, at Cola Bikini, both of them. Yeah, that's my socials. That's all I've got.
Next time you come over here, next time you're in the States, let us take you to a movie theater and we'll try some popcorn with butter. And I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised.
But what do you do with your hands off? It's sticky.
Yeah. See, okay, he can take you on the butter route, but I'm from Texas, and I will show you how we do jalapeno popcorn, which is where you take the jalapenos from the nachos, you put it in the popcorn, you shake it up, and you make spicy popcorn.
Okay, both of you are insane.
I appreciate it. The butter route?
I don't want to go on the butter route.
Yeah, but don't go on the butter route. Go on the jalapeno or the hot sauce route. I'm telling you.
That might come back to haunt me later.
No, it's good. It's good.
I think we all agree that a deep fried Mars bar is the best treat in the world.
I'm going to take him to the Texas State Fair where they have deep fried so many things.
Deep fried butter.
Deep fried butter is actually one of the things at the Texas State Fair, as well as deep fried peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, deep fried like pickles. We like things fried. Like, this is legitimately the Texas State Fair is known for it.
A sandwich and you deep fry it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You wonder why your country.
No, we don't. We do not wonder. We know why. We know why. We absolutely know why. We know why. Anyway, thank you again. Thank you again. Right, we're going to see you next time.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's
been a pleasure as well. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That was such fun, Mark. Seriously, though.
It was jolly good fun. And that's why. I mean, again, I do want to go over to England at some point to do stand-up and meet all the fans over there. But it is just funny how we just have similar traditions. We like eating popcorn at movies, but how different that could be. Because if you're just listening, the way that Cola was reacting to butter and pretty much how much we put on everything. God. Again, there's a reason why I don't look like Will Smith and I don't have his midsection. And it's probably because butter on popcorn at movies. But I'm not changing because it's just too delicious.
Hey, I'm not changing either. Although I will say he did partially fall out when I mentioned jalapenos and hot sauce. But hey, if you are jalapenos on popcorn or a hot sauce on popcorn person, please let us know in the mailbag. Because I feel like there's going to be half of y'all ready to come for me. This is going to be a very pineapple on pizza debate. I know it's going to be that way. But I'm ready to open up the floodgates of opinion. And of course, you can do that by emailing us at rtiswrong@rottentomatoes. Of course, wherever you're listening to us, please rate, subscribe, tell your friends. And if you have a film that you want to recommend to us, you can do that as well. But I'm serious. I want only popcorn talk for the next week or so. Just kidding. Because next week, we also have a very, I think, film that is also parodied in Hot Fuzz. Is that correct, Mark?
There's a lot of action movies lampooned in that Simon Pegg classic, and this one is right at the top of the list when it comes to all-time great actioners, at least in my humble opinion, and apparently in our special guest opinion. We're talking about Point Break, and it's a shame I even have to say this, but yes, the original Point Break from 1991, and our special guest is going to be none other than one of the hosts of Good Morning Football and Frogger's host, Kyle Brandt, is joining the show. And so all those times when you've listened to RT is Wrong and Jack and I open talking about our football teams, Kyle Brandt is going to be on the same level. And he gets to, well, we know which team is probably going to the playoffs out of Jacqueline and I's, but Kyle's going to give us the lowdown and we're going to celebrate the greatness that is Point Break. I'm looking forward to your thoughts on Point Break, Jacqueline.
I mean, I think they may surprise you, but I just want to add to everyone, this was directed by Kathryn Bigelow before she divorced James Cameron and then beat him at the Oscars, which if there is ever a petty shade in the world, it is his face in that moment. That's all for us this week, folks. You can tune to us next week and we'll check you next time on Rotten Tomatoes is Wrong.
Believe.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.